Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning there was peace, and in the end there will be peace. But what is here and now is war, not a war of money or land, but rather one of spirituality. So as our blood, sweat, and tears begin to blend into the rhythm of the drum, we are faced with one question. Who is willing to die for the light? Are you ready for the war?
Israel, family, and listening audience, good Shabbat. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yaral Habeth Yahweh. As always, I want to suggest that everyone get your pen, your paper, your notebooks, your Bibles, and all your other resources that you may have. Well, as we go through the scriptures today, we're going to be talking about Cain. He's one of those seeds that we talked about in the last session. We talked about, we went to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Now I'll read it again just to reiterate it. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. That's the clause that we're stopping with. And as we started off, are you ready for that war? Because there's a battle going on right now. A battle between the light and the darkness. I'm going to start off with a prayer. Merciful Father Yah, we thank thee for protecting us throughout the course of this week. We thank thee for the lessons and the blessings that you gave us throughout the course of the week. And we ask of thee, O Father, to open our hearts, open our minds, and open our reality to what's going on out there in both the physical world and the spiritual world, and prepare us to fight. As your words say, you don't want us to be ignorant of Hasatan's devices. So as we go through this session of Can It Be That Simple, open our hearts and open our minds to see the road that the adversary is going to, and give us the wisdom to recognize it and use the wisdom that you've given us to overtake him and confront him so that he will flee. Father, we thank thee once again for allowing us to come to yet another Shabbat day to meet with you. We thank thee in the name of thy Son, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer and soon coming King, Yahushua HaMashiach, Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctified the Sabbath. Amen. We're going to start off today in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And like I said earlier, the subject matter of this session is Cain. And it reads, when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she gave some to her husband with her, and he ate. So I'm starting off right here because throughout the course of the lesson, we're going to see some of the things that Cain took from this aspect of what his mother did and what his father did in the beginning. From there, we're going to go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. And it's just another way of saying Genesis 3:16. And it reads, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not Yah's, but it's of the world. See, because when Eve took of that fruit, her reality, when Adam ate of that fruit, their reality changed. They went from purely spiritual to both spiritual and physical. So they became part of this world system. So we're going to go from there. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And it reads, the man knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and gave birth to Cain and said, I have gotten a man with Yahweh's help. So from there, I looked up the term Cain. And it's Cain, in the Hebrew lexicon, 7014, Cain. And it reads, it says, it's a city in South Judah. But it also makes reference to 7013, Cain, a spear. Now, look the word spear up in, it's a weapon, consists of a long staff with a sharp point at the end. So from that perspective, I took it from that spear that Hasatan is going to be using to fight against the light or her seed. From there, you know, I tend to make references to outside books. But when I make these references to these outside books, they have to coincide with what the scriptures read. So I'm going to read a little excerpt from the book of Jasher. And it's in regards to Cain. Then I'll go into some other scriptures within the holy writings. And then I'm going to read in the book of Jasher, chapter 1, verses 13 to 22. And it reads, and she called his name, she called the name of the firstborn Cain, saying, I have obtained a man from the Mighty One. And the name of the other she called Abel. So this is actually talking about when Kawa had Cain and Abel. For she said, in vanity we came into the earth, and in vanity we shall be taken from it. And the boys grew up, and their fathers gave them possessions in the land. And Cain was a tiller of the ground, and Abel a keeper of sheep. And it was at the expiration of a few years that they brought an approximate offering to the Mighty One. And Cain brought from the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought from the firstling of his flock, and from the fat thereof. And the Mighty One turned and inclined to Abel and of his offering. And the fire came down from the Mighty One from heaven and consumed it. And until Cain and his offering, the Mighty One did not turn and he did not incline to it. For he had brought from the inferior fruit of the ground before the mighty one. And Cain was jealous against his brother Abel on account of this. And he sought a pretext to slay him. And then sometime after, Cain and Abel, his brother, went one day into the field to do their work. And they were both in the field, Cain tilling and plowing his ground, and Abel feeding his flock. And the flocks passed by, passed that part which Cain had plowed in the ground. And it sorely grieved Cain on this account. And Cain approached his brother Abel in anger. And he said unto him, what is there between me and thee that thou comest to dwell and bring thy flock to feed in my land? And Abel answered his brother Cain and said unto him, what is there between me and thee that thou shalt eat the flesh of my flock and clothe thyself with their wool? And now, therefore, put off the wool of my sheep with which thou hast clothed thyself, and recompense me for their fruit and the flesh which thou hast eaten. And when thou shalt have done this, I will then go from thy land as thou hast said. And Cain said to his brother Abel, surely if I slay thee this day, who will require thy blood from me? And Abel answered Cain, saying, surely, mighty one, who has made us in the earth, he will avenge my cause, and he will require my blood from thee, should thou slay me. For the mighty one is the judge and the arbiter, and it is he who will requite me according to his evil, and the wicked man according to his wickedness, that he may do upon the earth. So I read that because just to give a little background, because we know, you know, when we read the story of Cain and Abel, we know that Cain slew Abel. And when we read the scriptures, sometimes, we know something else happened. So sometimes when I go to the book of Jasher, it gives a little filler. But from there, one of the things that, when doing this study of Cain, we tend to understand that we as humans are faced with moral dilemmas. And when we face with moral dilemmas, we have to make the right choice. And inside, we make a choice before our actions go forth, and sometimes we make a choice that is not really favorable to us. So we have a dilemma, rather yay or nay, because that's the constant battle that we go through: good and evil, light and darkness. There's a scripture that say, "Count the cost." So when we look at these moral dilemmas, we have to count the cost to see whether or not we're willing to accept the consequences that come from the choices that we make. So I'm going to go from reading this excerpt from Jasher. It took me to Leviticus 19:18, and it reads, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh." So right here, this this is a moral dilemma that, as we see, Cain didn't follow. He didn't love his neighbor. He had vengeance against him. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35, and it reads, this is Moses speaking. And it says, "Vengeance is mine, and recompense at the time when thy foot slides. for the day of their calamity is at hand. The things that are to come on them shall make haste. And then I went to Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Do not seek revenge yourself, beloved, but give place to Elohim's wrath. For it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, saith the mighty one. So, when we read that excerpt, Abel has some knowledge of that. But as we see, when we read these things, these were well after Abel was slain. So there's principles that have been placed in men by that spirit passed down. Because as we know, Adam had a relationship with the Most High. And Adam went through some things when he sinned, or went contrary to what the Most High wanted him to do, or didn't listen to him. So there were some things that Adam went through, and he passed it on to his sons. Then I went from there, I went to Genesis chapter 4, and I'm going to read to 7. And this is to follow up with what I read in Jasher. And it reads, verse 3, as time passed and it happened that Cain brought an offering to Yahweh, to the Mighty One, from the fruit of the ground. Abel also brought some of the firstborn of his flock, from his flock, and its fat. Mighty One respected Abel and his offering, but did not respect Cain and his offering. So we're going to stop here for a minute because I looked the word respect up in this context, and it's in your Hebrew lexicon, in your Hebrew concordance, 81:59, and it's sha'ah, to gaze, to depart, to be dim, be dismayed, look away, regard, have respect, spare, or turn. They are the quick definitions. But then, you know, you got some other definitions. The primary root is to gaze at or about properly for help. By implication, to inspect, consider, compassion. Nonplussed, as looking around in amazement. So I stopped at this definition because I had no clue of what this word meant. Nonplussed. And it's, like I said, as looking around in amazement. So I looked the word up in Webster's, and it said, a state of bafflement, confused, or perplexed. And in that definition, I looked up perplexed, and it says, to make unable to grasp something clearly or think logically and decisive about something. So one of the things that has stopped me right here was because when the Mighty One, let me finish reading a little more and dealing with the word respect in this context of dealing with Cain. Read some more. I'm going to start at verse 5 again. It says, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Cain was very angry, and the expression on his face fell. Mighty One said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your expression of your face fallen? So right here, the Most High is having a conversation with Cain. And that's what came to my mind when I got to this definition in regards to respect. He was baffled, perplexed about why was Cain in the state that he was in. Because this is more likely not the first offering that Cain seen. This is not the first time that he has seen an offering. So makes me understand, you know, why the Most High would have been confused or amazed. Not really confused, but amazed at his response to him. Then we go on verse 7, and it says, if you do well, will it not be lifted up? But if you do not do well, sin crouches at the door. Its desire is for you, but you are able to rule over it. So I looked the word up, I looked do well up, and in the Hebrew it's 3190. And it's yatav, and it means to be good, well, glad, pleasing. So the Most High is letting him know that, hey, if you do well, you'll get well. But if you do wrong, if you do bad, if you don't do well, what's happening? Sin is crouching. And as we know, it's talking about Hasatan. Hasatan is crouching, waiting for that opening to slide in, waiting for you to give him an opportunity to come in. See, he's not going to knock on the door and ask to come in. He's going to wait till the door cracks open. He's going to slide in. And he uses, you know, the term door because we are a temple and we have openings. Like, we have a saying, guard your gates. And guarding your gates is guarding all those openings that you receive information through and protect them. Because the adversary will use those gates to come in and infiltrate your mind, infiltrate your thinking, and try to change your thinking and persuade you. That's if you give him an opportunity. So from here, we can say that, you know, Cain's lack of right disposition toward the Mighty One is shown in his behavior. Instead of humbling himself, he gives signs of strong indignation at the Mighty One, refusing to favor him. Under the just rebuke of the Mighty One, he hardens his heart and is further confirmed and jealous of Abel. Unrepentance increased until his calamity and his deliberate murder. So from here, I went to 1 Peter 5:8. And this is just dealing with Cain's disposition. And it says, be sober and self-controlled. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. See, because Cain right here did not maintain self-control. He allowed his anger to boil up. He allowed his envy and jealousy to rise up above that good nature that all men have within them. And then as a result, he took his brother's life. Then from there, went to Genesis chapter 4, verse 12, and it reads, from now on, when you till the ground, it will not yield its strength to you. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer in the earth. So from here, because he was a tiller of the earth, I'm going back to the reference in Genesis 3:17, because we heard that before. Genesis 3:17-19, and it reads, and to the man he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, do not eat of it. Curses the ground because of you, and toil you are to eat of it all the days of your life. and the ground shall bring forth thorns and thistles for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you are to eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it were taken, out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and dust you return. So right here, it's making a comparison between Adam not listening to what the Mighty One said, and with Cain not listening to the strong suggestion that the Mighty One gave to him. And as a result, he became a fugitive and a wanderer in the earth. Hold that thought for a minute. I thank you all for your patience. Now, from here, I looked up the word fugitive, which is 551-28 in your Strong's. And it's nuah, and it means to continually fugitive, make to go up and down, be gone away. Primitive root, to waver. And then the great variety of application, literally and figuratively. So I looked the word fugitive, but waver. Because in this, when we look at this story, the Most High gave him an opportunity, gave him an option to do well or to do or not do well. So in doing that, I looked up the word waver, and it means to fluctuate in opinion, client, or direction. So he had an opportunity to do well, like his brother Abel. But he chose not to do well. So he ended up following the adversary, Hatatan, because he allowed that lion to take over his thoughts. And then it says, and wander in the earth. That's the last part of that scripture. And then, like it says, fluctuate in opinions. I look the word fluctuate up, and that means switch back and forth, uncertainty. So sometimes we as believers, sometimes that's what we do. We fluctuate. We shift back and forth, back and forth. And that's not good. It's not good. It's not good for us to do, because we're not making an allegiance to anything. When it's good for us to serve the Most High, We follow. When it's not good, or when we're in certain company, we're jumping off the bandwagon. But that's not what he wants. He doesn't want us to be like that. So from there, I went to Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, because I'm focusing on this fluctuating, or this shifting back and forth. Joshua 24:15 reads, "If it seems evil to you to serve Yahweh, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, on whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh." So this is dealing with that fluctuation, because, during this time, you had people who were fluctuating, because when we look at the history of Israel, when they went in different lands, they compromised the ways of the Most High. And they was doing, and they was serving other gods. And Joshua is saying to them, hey, you got to choose. You got to choose. Elijah said the same thing to the people of Israel. 1 Kings 18:21. And it reads, Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you waver between two sides? If Yahweh is Elohim, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. The people answered him not a word. So this is, again, going to that fluctuation, because the Most High talks to us. He talks to us just as well as HaSatan talks to us when we give him that opportunity, when we open the door. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. And it reads, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. So you see, these are people who have been confused and who have been duped, because they have deceived themselves to think that darkness is a good thing. They have been persuaded in their minds of unrighteousness. Then from there, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. And it reads, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both Yah and riches. Or you cannot serve both Yah and Mammon. And Mammon was a god during that time that represented riches. And this is dealing with that fluctuating that Cain did and caused him to be a fugitive in Yahweh's eyes. And we don't want that as believers. We don't want to take on that character that we waver in, that we become a fugitive to the Most High. We don't want that. Those who are ready for that war and ready to fight for that light. Then I went to Genesis 4:16, and it reads, Cain went out from Yahweh's presence, and he lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And I looked the word Nod up, and Nod is from 51:13, a region in which Cain wandered. The same word, Nod, vagrancy. Nod in the land of Cain. And that word comes from 51:12. Nude, and that was wandering, aimless. And it comes from another term, which means exile, wandering. And that's 51:10. Nude, to move to and fro, wandering, flutter, a show of grief. We've heard that before also, moving to and fro. There's an instance when Most High's talking in HaSatan, when he came, threw out there Job and said, have you ever considered my servant Job? Or he asked him where he'd been at. He said he's walking to and fro, aimless. He doesn't have anywhere to go. So that's the same state in which Cain was in, to and fro. But we know eventually Cain built cities. And I looked the word wandering up in Webster's, and it says to move about without a fixed course, aim or goal to go idly about, to follow a winding course, meander, to go astray as from off, from away from a course. And then it says to lose normal mental contact, straying thoughts. And it also said that he was a vagrant. A vagrant is one who has no established residence, wander idly from place to place without lawful or visible means of support. So when we look at Cain, you know, Cain took up an abode in the land of Nod, wandering, and there he built a city and became and becomes the ancestors of a line which includes Jubal, forefather of tent dwellers, and a cattle keeper, Jubal, forefather of musicians, Tubal Cain, forefather of Smith, and Lamech. Like Cain, a man of violence. Lamech was one of his sons. Then we're going to go to Jude. We'll go to Jude 1:11. And it reads, woe to them, for they went in the way of Cain and ran riotless in the errors of Balaam for hire, and perished in Korah's rebellion. And these are different times in which Hasatan, you know, influenced people. As we know, Balaam was a prophet for hire, and the king at that time was hiring him to curse Israel. But he couldn't curse Israel because Israel was blessed. And then we got Korah, who was, he set a rebellion against Moses in the wilderness. And all those who were on his side ended up getting swallowed up in the earth. The earth closed up on them. John 8:44, it reads, you are your father. You are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he doesn't stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When we speak a lie, when he speaks a lie, he speaks on his own, for he is a liar and his father. So this is just talking about different characters. This is the characteristics of Hasatan. He's a liar. And what do? He tells men that he can give them a lot of things, that he doesn't tell them everything. Because one thing he can do is save your soul. But he can convince you that he can't do that. And what is he doing? He's lying to you. Then I went from there, I went to Joshua 5:6. And it reads, for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, and to all the nation, even the men of war who came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they did not listen to the voice of Yahweh. Yahweh swore to them that he wouldn't let them see the land which Yahweh swore to their fathers, that he would give us a land flowing with milk and honey. So this is talking about Israel when they was wandering in the wilderness after they came out of Egypt. They was wandering. And when we learned about, the more we study about the story, they were a 3 days journey away from the promised land. But because of the way that the people were acting and not listening, but complaining, that he had them wander for 40 years, those individuals who were in a position to assist the younger generations in doing the right thing, they complained and murmured As a result, they died in the wilderness. And from there, we're going to go to one of the descendants of Cain's line. We're going to go to Genesis 4:19, verses 19 to 24. And it reads, Lamech took two wives. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the other was Zillah. Adah gave birth to Jubal, who we talked about earlier, who was the father of those who dwelt in tents and had livestock. His brother's name was Jubal, who was the father of all who handled the harps and the pipes. Zillah also gave birth to Tubal Cain, the forger of every cutting instrument of brass and iron. And Tubal Cain's sister was Naamah. Right here we read about one of Cain's wicked descendants is the first recorded as having broke the law of marriage. And when we talk about the law of marriage, we're talking about one man, one wife. When a man leaves his mother and father and cleaves to his wife. Right here we have a man who had two wives. And it reads, one man had but one wife at a time, but Lamech took two. Worldly things are the only things that carnal, wicked people set their hearts upon, and are mostly clever and industrious about it. So it was with this descendant of Cain. Here was a father of shepherds, father of musicians, but not a father of faithful. Here is one who teaches about brass and iron, but none to teach the good knowledge of the Mighty One. Here are devices how to be rich and how to be mighty and how to be merry, but nothing of the Mighty One, of his fear and service. Presently, things filled the head of most. Lamech had enemies whom he had provoked. He drew a comparison between himself and Cain and flattered himself that he committed a lesser crime. But as we know in the scriptures, it says, if you sin in one point, you sin in all. I believe that's in James. There's no big sins, there's no little sins. It's just sin. Disobedient. So this is a summation of Cain. In Cain's character, we see a terrible outburst of self-will, pride, and jealousy, leading to a total and relentless renouncing of all human ties and affection. Among the lessons of truth which your narrative teaches may be instant. The nature of temptation and the manner in which it should be resisted, consequences to which is unsubdued temper may lead a man to gradually steps by which an end deadly crimes may be committed. The need of sincerity of purpose lest our offering should be rejected. Mighty One cares for the guilty sin, the guilty sinner, after he is punished. And the interdependence upon one another of members of the human race, and the duties and obligations which we owe to each other. From there, I went to Job 5:2. For resentment kills the foolish man, and jealousy kills the simple. Job 18:4. You who tear yourself in your anger, shall the earth be forsaken for you, or shall the rocks be removed out of its place? Romans 2:8. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, will be wrath and indignation. And from there, as we know, Cain, he died before the flood. He died on that time. He was before the flood. And one of the questions that always came to my mind from time to time was, how did Cain's line make it past the flood? So I'm going to read chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. And this is just a little tidbit that I found out when I was utilizing Jasher as a resource for this study. Verse 15, and it says, "And thou shalt raise up a seed and thy children with thee in the midst of the earth. And Noah went and took a wife, and he chose Naomi, the daughter of Enoch. And she was 580 years old. And Noah was 490 years old when he took Naomi for a wife." So, the lesson for the day was Cain, a spear used to battle the people of the light. As we see in his character, we don't want that character. We want to be able to recognize that character in humanity and in people and utilize the word to help them to get out of that darkness. As it says, resist the devil and he shall flee. But at the same time, we're also supposed to plant the seed of righteousness. Because as the scriptures talk about that man who went out and planted seeds, then his servant came in the morning and said, "Hey, didn't you plant good seed? What is this right here?" And then he was talking about how man came and sowed bad seed. So we have both good seed and bad seed in this world. But as people of righteousness, we're supposed to help them, give them an opportunity to see that light, that righteous light in the world. Because many people are blinded by the unrighteous light. Or they're walking around with shades on their face. So, hopefully, the little tidbit about Cain opens your mind to some other things. Search out the scriptures that I gave and see what the Most High opened your eyes to in regards to Cain and his character. And at the same time, look in the mirror and check yourself out to see if you have any of those characteristics in you. And if you do, the Most High has given us a fruit to get rid of that. He has given us His Spirit through the fruit of His Spirit to help us combat those things. But when you stand firm in His Word and in His truth, there's no reason for you to waver. There's no reason for you to fluctuate because you know you're on the winning side. You're on the side of the light, the true light. For as we talked about when we were talking about Satan, how he referred to himself as the light. And also Yahushua referred to himself as the true light. So those who wish to travel in the light, continue to strengthen yourself. Continue to sharpen your sword. Continue to armor up, because we war not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and high places. And if we can recognize his works, and we can recognize his movement, we will be able to help those who are in darkness and give them the light that they need to pull themselves out of the darkness. So as I conclude this night's lesson, or this Sabbath lesson, I hope that all have a pleasant slumber. For the Most High has a great thing for us in the morning. Another Sabbath morning, another Sabbath lesson, another opportunity to strengthen us, another opportunity to shine up our armor, another time to see Him. Merciful Father, we thank Thee for all You have done and all You will do. We ask of Thee to protect us as we go to sleep this evening, and rise us up in the morning so that we can see Thee yet another time. Blessed are You, Yahweh, Shield of Abraham. Blessed are You, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are You, Yahweh, the Holy Power. Blessed are You, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are You, Yahweh, who restores His presence to Zion. Blessed are You, Yahweh, the Beneficent One. Blessed are You, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with peace. We thank Thee, Father, in the name of Thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer, and soon coming King. Amen. And this concludes tonight's lesson. Anakin. It just started.